bid you welcome in the Saviour's name to God's house tonight. As we come to worship God at the midweek, we're singing together 351. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. come to pray, there are a number of people that we have been remembering this week particularly. And we think of James Glenn, who was admitted to hospital in the early part of the week and is still there undergoing tests. We think of Aaron McKay, who went through surgery this week, out of hospital, back at home, and recovering. Our sister Myra McCauley, likewise, and just waiting to see what they're going to do with her. And we've been thinking about Nigel McCauley and the ongoing sickness in his body. And Anne Story also, she was admitted to hospital, but got out today and is back home recovering there. We're thinking also of Chrissy Blair. He goes in for more surgery on the 27th of this month. We've also been remembering the sick families in India and Nepal, connected to the churches there. Some of them have been very critically ill on oxygen and ventilation as well. So let's seek the Lord tonight in prayer, call upon His great name. Heavenly Father, it is a joy to be able to proclaim and confess, "It is well with my soul." We thank Thee for the day we met with Christ, when the Holy Spirit entered and we were born of God, when the matter of our soul's destination was taken care of forever, where Thou didst give to us, in repentance and faith, everlasting life, through the Lord Jesus Christ, who purchased eternal redemption for us at the cross. We come through Him now in prayer at the midweek service. We look away from ourselves, we look away from one another to fix our gaze upon the man of Calvary, our blessed Redeemer, who is now on high in heaven at the right hand of the Father, praying for us. We plead His holy name. We come through His righteousness. We stand upon the grounds of His blood. And in doing so, we know we are accepted with God. Lord, hear us as we pray, as we seek to approach Thee in this service, as we look to Thee for Your help and blessing to rest upon this time together, as the Church of Jesus Christ comes together. Here we are to meet with one another in the Word and in prayer, to meet with God, more importantly, likewise in His Word, hoping with all our hearts that He'll have a message for us and speak to us. Give us that listening ear and the understanding heart, that we might hear what God is saying. And Lord, we're here to pray, to seek Him, to call upon Him as a church for the many, many needs there are in our lives, to petition God. And Lord, we've been thinking about these ones that have been in hospital or due to go into hospital. We commit them lovingly to Thee. We pray for James that You will bless him in his physical frame, just where he is now in the hospital, that Thou wilt guide those that are investigating what happened to him this week. Lord, put Your hand upon him, strengthen him, and heal him. We thank Thee for being with this man that we've been asked to pray for, Aaron McKay, and Lord, we commit him to Thee as he's now home and recovering, that Thou wilt perfect that which concerns him. For Moira, and for Nigel, and for Anne, Lord, again, You know all about them. You know the detail. You know the struggle. You know the pain. You know exactly their circumstances, what they're going through. We can say with the hymn writer that Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide until the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. And then we think of Chrissy going into hospital for additional surgery, that You'll be with this young man, and that Thou wilt again bring him through it for the glory of God and for his good. Bless his family as they seek to be an encouragement to him at this time. Remember those that are connected to the church family in India and in Nepal. We think of those that we've heard about even this week that are struggling, those that are in hospital, going through the darkness of what this virus is doing to their bodies. And Lord, we want to pray for them. We want to uphold them at the throne of grace. We pray for DePanker's family. We pray for Ravi's family. We thank Thee for some improvement. We think too of the Nepali church and those that are suffering within those congregations. Lord, heal them, we pray, as we lovingly commit them into the hands of Almighty God tonight. Come and abide with us now and bless us as a people. Direct our way. Keep us, Lord, in the center of your will. Keep us abounding in your work. Keep us, Lord, with an eye that is fixed upon heaven, upon that which is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us to live with eternity's values in view. And for those that join with us on the internet tonight, bless them likewise just where they are at home. We ask in the lovely and the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Very warm word of welcome to the congregation tonight here in the building, and those that are listening in on the internet. Youth Fellowship is having their final meeting before breaking off for the summer, and that's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. It is also the Missionary Council meeting by Zoom at 8 o'clock. And then we come to the Lord's Day beginning with prayer. This is continuing on Zoom at 8 a.m. The Sunday School at 10:30, the Bible class 10:30, and our worship service 12 noon as we study the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel meeting at night, we're continuing with our series at 7 o'clock, The Awful Place Called Hell. And we have our time of prayer by Zoom at 5:30. Thank you again for your tithes and offerings. We have received missionary gifts in the past week. £1,000, £50, £50, and gifts for Bikes for Romania. I want to thank those here in the church and others who are connected to us, maybe listening in tonight, for your kindness and generosity. We also want to express our sincere sympathy to Uncle and Kelly Alvarez. Uncle is one of the co-pastors there in Alcorcón, and his father passed away on Tuesday. So we're thinking about this dear man and his loss and his family, that the Lord will draw graciously near and be with them in sorrow. I want to also announce and advertise to you a special meeting that's taking place next week, and it is an online memorial service for the Reverend Wesley Graham, and there will be a family tribute. There will be a memorial video presentation. Some of his grandchildren, the Brown family, will be singing. And the Reverend Harris, our chairman of the mission board, he will be preaching. So you can watch it on Facebook, that's Bangor's Facebook, or you can watch it on Ballymoney Sermon Audio. So they don't have Sermon Audio in Bangor, but they're going to use our site to do that. So there's the facility for you to tune in. It seems incredible that it's a year ago yesterday when the Reverend Graham died, and this is a special service in memory of the Lord's servant. We put out that little appeal for shoes. I want to thank those that have responded. There's more still to come in, but this is something of what we have received. Thank you in the Savior's name. And these are to help the poor children. We also made an appeal for some bikes, at least the money to buy them, that came in, and no roller skates. So you folks that are now over 60 and not needing your roller skates, or you want to part with them, send them in to us. Our sister Emma is going to use these as little gifts and prizes to encourage the children as they finish school, as they do well in their examinations. There's a magazine, or a little pamphlet really, is available tonight. I hope you got it coming in. If you're listening in tonight and you'll be with us on the Sabbath, there should be copies. It's bringing you up to date with what's happening in Brazil. And this little pamphlet is from the Acre Gospel Mission. Let's sing together the hymn 569, Hiding in Thee. O safe to the rock that is higher than I. My soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine would I be. Thy blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee.
Thank you. Amen.
Let's open our Bibles to the first book of Moses, Deuteronomy, and the chapter 33. Deuteronomy 33. I was reading a little daily devotion yesterday that was sent to me that was based upon the text that I'm going to bring to your attention. The verse just struck me, encouraged me, and I want to pass on something of that encouragement to you tonight. Last Thursday night, we were thinking about casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And we got a great response to that. Many people were spoken to and blessed as they can bring their burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And so we've got another text to encourage you and to strengthen you in the pilgrimage of life. But let's read some verses from the beginning of the chapter and then a few at the end of the chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was keen in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. And then we have the blessings that are conferred upon the tribes of Israel. Let's go to the end of the chapter, to verse 26. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Ending the reading there at the end of the chapter. May the Lord bless it to every heart. And we're thinking tonight about verse 27. And the title of the message is The Unshakable Refuge for God's People. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. What are you passing through, dear child of God, tonight? What burdens weigh heavily upon you? Are you tossed and torn in the conflict? Do you find yourself in the valley of despair? Has the way been hard and difficult? Can your present tense circumstances be described as the depths of despair? Are the angry waves in the rough sea of life dashing against your little vessel and threatening to sink you? Or can I ask you, in the words of Joseph Scriven, who experienced great anguish and sorrow, pain and devastation in his earthly pilgrimage, are you weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Well, then let me bring you to this blessed assurance and confidence in the heart of Old Testament history at the close of Moses' life, when at the age of 120, God is going to bring him home. Soon he would ascend into the lofty top of Mount Pisgah to survey the promised land, and then God himself would bring him into the sleep of death and bury his servant in a valley in the land of Moab. Let me bring you to what he is declaring here over the whole of Israel. Our text tonight, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This particular chapter outlines the blessing of God pronounced upon the tribes of Israel just before they cross over the Jordan and take possession of the land of promise. Moses lists the various tribes. He speaks words, the very words that God wishes to convey to each tribe. And then he concludes with a word about the God of Jeshurun. Jeshurun is a poetic name for Israel. It's only used four times in the Bible, three times in the book of Deuteronomy and once in the prophecy of Isaiah. It's a term of endearment, meaning upright one or blessed one. It could be translated beloved one. How dear to the heart of God are his people. These last verses, therefore, are a general blessing over the whole of Israel. These are the last words written by Moses, the man of God. They are remarkable, they are challenging, and they are full of comfort. Moses declares that there is no God like the God of Israel. And he so declares it there in what we read in verse 26. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in my help, and in his excellency on the sky. This God is above all gods. Moses reveals God's sovereignty and his power and his authority, for he rideth upon the heaven, and he does so with excellence, with magnificence on the sky, he says. Matthew Henry said, riding on the heavens denotes his greatness and glory, in which he manifests himself to the upper world, and the use he makes of the influences of heaven and the productions of the clouds in bringing to pass his own counsels in this lower world. He manages and directs them as a man does the horse he rides on. When he has anything to do for his people, he rides upon the heavens to do it, for he does it swiftly and strongly. No enemy can either anticipate or obstruct the progress of him that rides on the heavens. And then Moses declares the eternality of God in our text, calling him the eternal God who upholds us in his everlasting arms. And this leads me into the text that I want to set before you for your encouragement tonight. When we are looking for the blessing of God to fall upon us and to rest upon us, never forget to speak well of him, as Moses did. Remember and acknowledge who he is in his greatness and glory, the God of sovereign power and authority, and the one who is eternal in his being. There is no people like the people of God whom he has chosen. And as such, they are the happiest people on the earth, and no nation under the sun comparable to them. Look at the opening part of verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help. And that can likewise be applied not just to Israel of old, but to the church of Jesus Christ today. And I want you to be encouraged as we think about the unshakable refuge for God's people. I want you to notice, first of all, that there is here a magnificent description. The eternal God. And the gods of the heathen were invented. They were figments of their imagination, and they would soon perish. But the God of Jeshurun is eternal. He is that God who stretches from eternity to eternity, who is described by the psalmist in the Psalm 90 in verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Eternity. Eternity is something most difficult for finite creatures living in finite bodies in a finite world encompassed by the boundaries of time to understand. It is just nigh impossible for these puny minds of ours to grasp the eternal, the everlastingness of existence. Everything that we see around us had a beginning and will have an end. Plant life, animal life, human life, the earth and the heavens as we know them and see around us today. But when you open the book of God, you are confronted with the eternal. And the first mention of the word eternal is actually here in our text of Scripture. It occurs 47 times in the Bible, mostly in the New Testament. In fact, only twice in the Old Testament. And here is the first mention. And then we have the word everlasting. It occurs 91 times, 65 in the Old Testament and 26 in the New. And then there is the expression forever, and that occurs hundreds of times in the Bible. So we are brought to consider those things which are forever. A lost eternity. The place of the damned is forever. The Bible tells us it's eternal damnation. The fire that burns there is eternal fire, everlasting fire. And thank God the heaven that you and I as the redeemed of God are going to, it's also eternal. It's the eternal inheritance of the saints. It's that house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The gift of God to the believer, namely eternal life, is forever, of course. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is how the word is used most to describe the continual blessed existence of the child of God in the better land. We have eternal redemption. We read about the everlasting covenant, priesthood, mercy, joy, kindness, name, light, love, dominion, righteousness, consolation, kingdom, gospel, and so on in the Word of God. These things are all described as being eternal or everlasting. God Himself. He is the eternal God, the King Eternal, as He's described in the New Testament. Oh, what a blessed thought that this God who blesses His people and surrounds us daily in His loving care and protection is the eternal God. Now, how can we, poor creatures of the dust, comprehend the eternal God who has no beginning of days, nor shall have end of life? God was always there in the eternal existence of His being. Travel back as far as you can and beyond, further than we can possibly imagine, and God was there. Look to the future as far as you may in the light that is revealed to us in divine truth. Jesus has come again. The heavens and the earth as we know them have passed away. The Antichrist and the false prophets have been cast into the lake of fire. The judgment of all men has ended. Eternal sentence has been passed. And God is still there, existing, continuing to exist in the infiniteness of His being, the eternality of His person. As part of the triune God, Jesus Christ is also revealed as eternal in His nature and being. He existed in the beginning with God. We know that from John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God. Right there, in the beginning of all that was created, Jesus Christ was already there with God. And Jesus Christ, we're told, was God. Jesus revealed Himself as the great I Am. Before Abraham was, I am the eternal God, says Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is eternal. He's called the eternal Spirit in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Oh, my dear friends, tonight, the God that we love and serve and adore is everlasting. He's the eternal God. And I know that we can't fully comprehend that truth. But that's all right. As someone has said, a God who is small enough to be understood isn't big enough to be worshipped. God, by definition, must be infinitely great. If we have a God that we can grasp, he ceases to be God. By definition, God must be incomprehensible. If we could unravel the mysteries of his person, we would elevate ourselves to his level, which we cannot. Like everything else about God, this attribute, his eternity, is unfathomable. We just can't take it in. But he is the eternal God, and this is a magnificent description. I want you to notice, secondly, that there is a dependable shelter. He's thy refuge. The eternal God is thy refuge. We praise God for that tonight. The word here, refuge, signifies habitation or dwelling place in which a person is safe and at rest. It's the place of shelter and safety and security. And this is the picture presented to us in Scripture. The psalmist spoke about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and abiding under the shadow of his wings, or under the shadow of the Almighty, in Psalm 91 and verse 1. In the next verse, he stated, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And the language of the Psalm 91, this psalm that has been a special song to the believer in days of trouble and crisis, and not least during the pandemic, shows us how God covers us with his feathers and how we confidently shelter under his wings. He's a shield, he's a buckler, and he's a habitation. Now, Moses is the one, in conferring the blessing of God upon Israel in Deuteronomy 33, calls attention to this fact. The eternal God is thy refuge. He had proved this throughout his lifetime, and not least during the 40 years of wilderness wanderings. God had protected, preserved, and provided for his people during those years. Well, he hadn't changed now that they were about to take possession of the promised land. Moses wrote the 90th Psalm, which undoubtedly has an eye upon God as the habitation of his people when they were wandering in the wilderness. The 90th Psalm begins, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And that term, dwelling place, is the same root word that means habitation or refuge. God hasn't changed. As Israel was going to settle in the land of Canaan, the eternal God was still their dwelling place. And God is still all this to his redeemed today. You want to mark those precious declarations? Let me just give you a few. They are throughout the Bible, but we have many of them in the Psalms. Let me give you a few examples. First of all, in the Psalm 18, you can turn to the place if you wish. You might want to mark these verses. And if not, just listen to what I read to you. Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom will I trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Turn to the familiar words of the 27th Psalm and mark verse 5. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. So again, there's the hiding place. There's the shelter, there's the refuge for God's people, a pavilion, a tabernacle, a rock. Mark chapter 31 of the Psalms and verse 20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. Look to the next chapter, chapter 32 and verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. And can I mention to you the beautiful words of the Psalm 46? God is our refuge and strength, present help in trouble. Let me give you another example, two more examples. First of all, chapter 71, verse 3. Thou art my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. And one other reference in the Psalm 144 and verse 2. My goodness, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust. This is the language that is used throughout the Word of God and throughout the Psalms especially to describe the one that is thy refuge. As we have it here in this text of Scripture tonight, these are just a few examples. Dear believer, he's a refuge in the time of storm. Many are the storms that we have to face in this world and in our approach to the next. We speak of the great storm of the wrath of God against sin. And one day, those floodgates of divine wrath will open, the fury of a holy God who will take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, will be poured forth upon sinners in the great and the eternal judgment of the Almighty. It's a day to be greatly feared. And the question is asked in Revelation 6 and verse 17. For the day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? It's the opening of the sixth seal, which ushers in the coming of Jesus Christ and the day of his wrath, when men will hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. They will say to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And the question is asked, who shall be able to stand? I tell you, that's the great question. And the answer is short and simple. Not one will be able to stand on that day. No man, no woman, no young person. But let me tell you about the believers in Christ. They will be able to stand on that day, not by themselves. But they will stand because they stand in Christ. The eternal God is thy refuge. Hiding in thee, thy blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Praise God, we have a place of safety and security in him. Our rock of ages that was cleft for us at the cross of Calvary. We have built our house upon the rock. The storm will erupt around us, pictured by Christ as the rain descending and the floods rising and the winds blowing and all beating upon the house. Here's the conclusion. Here's the outcome, says Jesus. It fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. We still have a hiding place in Jesus. The eternal God is thy refuge. He's not only a refuge in the time of storm, but he's a refuge in the time of sickness. These old bodies of ours are tabernacles of clay. Just dust. That's all we are. Though fearfully and wonderfully made we are, though marvelous and miraculous the workings of the human body, yet we are, because of the entrance of sin into the world, susceptible to weakness, decay, corruption, sickness, and disease. We know the limitations of our bodies. We know the frailty of our physical frame. We can say, like Job, thou hast made me as clay. We are but earthen vessels, says Paul. Indeed, we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. And you know tonight how fragile you are. We think of the cancers the heart diseases, the strokes, the many things that can go wrong with our organs, with our blood. We know what coronavirus has done to the body. And some are still suffering to this day. In our times of sickness, when these bodies and minds of ours are afflicted with weakness and pain, we have in our eternal God a hiding place. The eternal God is thy refuge. Cling to it. Run to Him. And then He's a refuge in the time of sorrow. The hand of death visits our homes. A loved one or a friend is taken and we're plunged into the valley of grief and heartbreak. A dear wife, a loving husband, a respected father or mother, another close member of the family, even some little child taken. What do we do in such dark days? And sorrows like sea billows roll. We run to our refuge. We find strength, courage, and grace in Him. We abide under the protecting shadow of His wings of love and mercy, for He is thy refuge. And then He is a refuge in the time of suffering. Suffering of various kinds is often our lot in this old world of tears. Such days of anguish and anxiety overtake us in this life. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, says Peter. In this world you shall have tribulation, says Christ. You may not be able to interpret or understand your situation, what God brings you into. You may ask the question, why? And I'm not saying that you ask that why in a complaining way or in a blameworthy way, blaming God for your situation, but you sometimes ask why. Because your trial is hard to bear, it's deep, it's prolonged, it's causing your soul to be downcast, and you are tormented in your mind. Never forget the unchangeable truth of our text. The eternal God is thy refuge. And then I conclude tonight with a comforting reassurance, because we're told that underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are His everlasting arms. You will be well supported and borne up no matter what you're passing through. There are many such like descriptions of our blessed God which demonstrates how He helps us and upholds us through all the difficulties. I will cover thee with my hand. Exodus 33:22. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Psalm 57:1. Thou hast been a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. Isaiah 25:5. I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand. Isaiah 51:16. And here in our text, underneath are the everlasting arms. And this simply means that the almighty power of God is engaged for our protection and consolation. In our greatest distresses and under the heaviest burdens, the everlasting arms of God shall support us. Matthew Henry makes two observations here about this, about these everlasting arms supporting and upholding the people of God. Number one, in the interests of the church in general, that they shall not sink or be run down. Underneath the church is that rock of ages in which it is built, and against which the gates of hell shall never prevail, Matthew 16:18. And two, the spirits are particular believers, so that though they may be oppressed, they shall not be overwhelmed by any trouble. How low soever the people of God are at any time brought, everlasting arms are underneath to help them, or to help keep the spirit from sinking, from fainting, and the faith from failing. Even when they are pressed above measure, the everlasting covenant and the everlasting consolations that flow from it are indeed everlasting arms. with which believers have been wonderfully sustained and kept cheerful in the worst of times. Divine grace is sufficient for them. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. Dear child of God, I want you to be encouraged tonight. I want you to be encouraged by this text, the truth of it. I want the truth of this text to fix itself upon your mind and your heart. Under his wings, I'm safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. Under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. You take the text with you into the place of prayer just now. And when you leave this house of God tonight and you make your way home, you take this text of Scripture in your heart with you and hide it deeply there and let it do you good tonight and tomorrow and over the weekend and in the coming days. Make it a memory verse. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Let us pray. Almighty God, I want to give thee thanks tonight for your word, for an encouraging text, for an unshakable word from God tonight, reminding us again of who thou art, the eternal God who stretches from eternity to eternity, from everlasting to everlasting. And we thank thee that this eternal God is our refuge. And that means our refuge is as eternal as God himself. We praise thee for that. And how we rejoice that we're born up in the arms that are everlasting. O God, let these truths sink into our heart. Apply them by the Holy Spirit of God, who was sent to be our teacher. Help us to rest upon it. And Lord, may it do us good in the coming days. And tonight, especially for your troubled people. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue in prayer. Some of these things were set before you, and you can look up from time to time and see them there in the slide. Can someone lead us in prayer, please, for the work of God here? Youth fellowship ends tomorrow night for the summer. Sunday school goes on a little bit longer into June. Our missionary work continues. We'll be mentioning to you tonight of our sister Noreen. She got home safely this evening. So she's been on the move since last night. She flew all night. She got into Amsterdam this morning and had to wait most of the day there because there's very few flights. And now she's arrived in the location where she's going to stay for the first part. Will somebody lead us in prayer, please, including our nurses and doctors. We still want to remember them and all the work that they do.
Thank you.
these names that we prayed about at the start. They're all here. Asking somebody to remember our students now as they come up to their examinations, our Bible college students. And when you do that, have a wee thought for those in school and university that might be sitting exams at this time also.
Thank you.
Amen. Our clerk of session, who couldn't be with us tonight, he's on another call, presbytery call, forwarded a letter that was addressed to me that may be of interest to us to pray about tonight. It's one of the counselors from Ballymoney who's writing to us in that capacity to ask for prayerful support as the council is asked to consider a proposal to repaint the scripture text on the harbour wall in Port Stewart. We are blessed in Causeway Coast and Glens to have some of the most scenic walks and destinations in the UK. It is therefore a sad and telling reflection of the state of our society that council have received multiple complaints about the display of the following scripture on the harbour wall. The sea is his and he made it. Psalm 95, verse 5. Eternity, with a question mark. You must be born again, John 3 and 7, and Christ died for us, Romans 5 and 8. These complaints range from the scripture being visually offensive to it creating negative PR for the borough. I'm sure that you'll agree with me that equality in the public space now appears to apply to everyone except those with a religious belief. I want to assure both yourself, your elders and congregation that I will oppose any moves to dilute the display of scripture in the public space. I'm disappointed that a large number of councillors appear to be in favour of such a move and would therefore appreciate your prayerful support in this matter. If agreeable, it may be also of use for you to write to council highlighting your objection to any move as detailed above. The scripture in question received permission in 2018 and was repainted then, and if agreed, would be again at no expense to the taxpayer. Thank you for taking time to read this letter and for your ongoing prayers. That comes from Alan McLean. So could somebody just remember that? Our gospel heritage is under attack, and we just want to pray that even this very simple witness to the Lord and the need of our country and the need of souls will be preserved in a place that people do walk by and pass often. Can somebody just remember that, please? Through some missionary slides and then maybe someone at the end can pray for the missionary work. Well, we do value your prayers. Every Sunday at 9:30 we have the opportunity to preach to a group of people in Pakistan. Just this week I got these photographs this morning, the ongoing distribution of food to the orphans in India has been taking place. So remember these 70 children that are being helped. Our sister Noreen, as she visits Northern Ireland for 5 weeks, we will see her eventually, but she has to go into a kind of isolation period for 10 days, first of all. This was good news. The Ministry of Education in Uganda has granted registration to the primary end of the school in Uganda. So this is a first. That's been sought now for a number of years. So we're very glad that that has been forthcoming. Can somebody just remember these things in a wee word of prayer, and then we'll sing our closing hymn. Amen. Our closing hymn is 573. Under his wings I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that every day we're under the wings of God. We are sheltered there, protected there. He is the refuge of which we have spoken about this evening. Help us to take these truths home with us in our hearts. Dismiss us now in Your fear and love. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.